Ave Maria in the Afternoon is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Welcome to Ave Maria in the Afternoon, examining the world through the lens of faith from the heart of the Church to help us navigate the culture. Here's Dr. Marcus Peter.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much for joining us on this hour of Ave Maria in the Afternoon. I'm Augustine. Dr. Matthew Bunsen joins us today, as he does every week, to talk about news and current events in light of church teaching. We're going to begin by talking about the 74th Annual National Prayer Breakfast, not to be confused with the National Catholic Prayer Breakfast. This is conducted by the government, by the United States government. And President Trump headlined the event. He gave a speech that, well, ultimately rhetorically revolved around things that he does. And the thing I want to highlight in a very particular way, though, is that while his speech lasted more than an hour and focused largely on his achievements ever since he's been in office, what we can look at, too, is that certain themes that do inform the identity of our nation did come out. And I'm very grateful for that. There have been a lot of quote-unquote wins as it pertains to religious liberty under the Trump administration that we cannot take for granted. There were persecutions, legitimate weaponizations of the Department of Justice under the Biden administration that not only have been reversed, but in fact the Supreme Court has leaned towards the favor of enforcing the constitutional right to freedom of speech and freedom of religion. And therefore, there is a lot of cause for celebration. As Matthew will also highlight in our conversation, though, that we will take and accept and celebrate every incremental win that we receive. None of us are completely satisfied with any one of our political representatives. And so even now, the fight against chemical abortion will become one of the forefront issues for the pro-life coalition in the United States in terms of holding the present administration accountable. So those are things that we need to pray for, but we will begin with that bit of news with Matthew. And then for the later part of the hour, we will speak with my friend Peter Herbeck. Pope Benedict XVI's encyclical, Spe Salvi, explores a verse from Romans chapter 8 that states, "In hope we are saved." Placing our hope in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ means putting in Him the trust of our final recourse. It means informing the decisions that we make, the way we think, and our moral life around the fact that Christ can be trusted in His words and in His promises, and that He will come through for us. All this after the headlines.
Thanks, Marcus, and good afternoon, everybody. This is your Ave Maria Radio News for Thursday, February 5th. It is the Feast of St. Agatha, and today's news is brought to you by the Ave Maria Family of Funds at AveMariaFunds.com. The U.S. and Russia are reportedly nearing a deal to observe the nuclear arms treaty following its expiration. That's according to a report from Axios, which cited three sources familiar with the talks. President Trump's envoys Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner reportedly negotiated the New START treaty with Russian officials during talks in Abu Dhabi. President Trump questions how a person of faith can vote for a Democrat. He made the comment during his wide-ranging speech at the 74th National Prayer Breakfast this morning. The president used much of his speech to highlight accomplishments from his first year back in office. Matthew Bunsen has more later in this program. Mariah Carey is set to sing at the opening ceremony of the 2026 Winter Olympics. She will be joining Andrea Bocelli, who is duetting with Chris Stapleton and Carol G in the lineup. Carey will be singing in Italian, while Bocelli will sing in Italian, French, English, and Spanish. The opening ceremony takes place tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern on NBC. A new study shows artificial intelligence can look over an abdominal CT scan and pick out adults at a higher risk of failing years in advance. Researchers from the Mayo Clinic used AI tools to examine medical images that show measured fat distribution, muscle area density, and bone area to determine future fall risk. Experts say muscle density is a strong predictor of future fall risk than muscle size. And officials are giving the update in the search for the mother of Today host Savannah Guthrie in southern Arizona. Nancy Guthrie was reported missing from her Tucson home on Sunday, and authorities believe she may have been abducted. Yesterday, Savannah Guthrie posted a video on social media with her family, pleading for more information and that they are ready to talk. With your Ave Maria Radio News, this is Bryant Shanley.
Good afternoon and welcome back. I'm Marcus Pete. I'm joined by my friend Dr. Matthew Bunsen, who ever so generously gives us of his time and talents to share with us what's going on in the world of news according to our Christian faith. Matthew, he's Vice President and Editorial Director of EWTN News. Matthew, thank you so much for making the time. How are you?
Oh, it's great to be with you. It really is.
I always enjoy connecting with you. And, well, we have an object of, well, I want to say mirth, but at the same time, I wish that these prayer breakfasts actually lived up to what they're supposed to do. So tell us about the National Prayer Breakfast that happened.
Right. Well, we always have to be very clear here that we're talking about the National Prayer Breakfast and not the National Catholic Prayer Breakfast,
yes.
Which is another event that's held in Washington, D.C. That one's coming up. I encourage everyone to watch it. EWTN will be carrying it, and I know we'll be covering it extensively because it's obviously what it sounds like. It's the National Catholic Prayer Breakfast. In this case, this is the National Prayer Breakfast. And it's an event held in Washington, D.C., usually on, I think, the first Thursday in February. So here we are. And this goes way back. I think it goes all the way back to the 1950s and certainly has been held definitively in D.C., certainly since the 80s, I think, at the Washington Hilton. So that's sort of a bit of a setting for why it matters. It's a very large event. It's supposed to be nonpartisan, and it is supposed to bring different groups, denominations, everyone together with business, political, and civic leaders to celebrate prayer. Now, obviously, as one can imagine, it has seen a host of participants over the years. I memorably can recall, I think Tony Blair was there back in the 2000s. And, of course, President Trump has appeared a number of times as one of the primary speakers, both his first and now his second term. That being said, President Trump made his visit today for the prayer breakfast, and it was, the account from what I'm seeing is 77 minutes at the Washington Hilton, and I think we can describe it as classically President Trump in the sense that he is very freewheeling with his rhetorical style. And he, as always, is his capacity. He was able to get his key points across. In particular, the way that he has focused, as he would say, on religion. As he said in the speech, quote, he has done more for religion than any president, and that his predecessors, as he put it, bailed out on religion. And then it predictably, classically President Trump, it became very political and at times also very personal in terms of his own reflections. So this is one of those moments, I think, where he is himself. And all of us over these many years now have gotten used to his rhetorical style and the fact that he does tend to inject himself very much into speeches like this.
Indeed. And that is a very diplomatic way of phrasing his rhetorical style. Was there anything noteworthy in terms of the centrality of faith, this being the National Prayer Breakfast, so directing the United States to the care of God and intercession and prayer?
Yeah, well, I think, again, he was focusing very heavily on the fact that from his standpoint, he has been very aggressive in the defense of religion, contrasting himself, as he is wont to do, with his predecessors in the office. He did notably, too, have a few comments about his own aspirations, nigh unto expectations that he might actually get to heaven. That's been an interesting little side journey in some of the conversations he's had with the media. I think on one of his flights back to Washington, D.C., at one point he talked about he wasn't sure if he'd get to heaven. I think he seemed to sound a more determined and positive expectation that he would be getting to heaven. But as he said, he recognizes that he's not a perfect person, and he's always been very upfront about that.
And I recall some of the statements he's made in the past about clearly he's not very well catechized, because his statements about heaven have been a little Pelagian. And I wonder if you could comment on that in light of where the present political climate is about the Christian faith.
Well, I think certainly the president has enjoyed very longstanding and broad support from what would be termed the Christian right, or mm-hmm. conservative evangelicals, conservative Christians. We know that he received a majority of the Catholic vote in the 2016 and the 2024 election. In fact, I think we can safely say that the Catholic vote was one of those pivotal blocks. Now we can get into the whole discussion about whether there is such a thing as a Catholic vote. Mm-hmm. But Catholics in very large numbers supported the president, and he has also received very wide support from Latino Catholics and Latino evangelicals and Latino Christians. So there is that aspect to his electoral history that I think is noteworthy. Certainly people who are people of faith have tended over the last years to vote on one side of the aisle than the other, and he, again, has received that support. So he is somebody then who is very cognizant of the support that he has received from conservative Christians and has done, I think, as much as he can to support it. Now, having said that, we also have to acknowledge that this administration has, in this second term especially, done some things that have caused considerable alarm to the pro-life movement, mm-hmm. In particular in the area of mifepristone and abortifacients and other things. But receiving, again, assurances from J.D. Vance at the March for Life, and then most recently from HHS directors, that, in fact, this administration is fully on board with the pro-life cause.
Yeah, I've tried very hard to not be overtly reactive. And in a lot of ways, when it comes to the work of politics and being Christian in voting, I understand that we will take incremental wins where we can accept them.
Yeah, but, right.
Yeah, I invite your thoughts on this.
Well, and I think today the president, again, having that recognition of what, to a large degree, his base consists of, talked about the achievements again in the area of religion. He talked about the need and the desire to bring, as he put it, back to the center of American politics and, mm-hmm. and culture. He talked about support for prayer in schools. He talked about finding some solution to transgender ideology, which, of course, is a very sharp dividing point and a demarcation point for a lot of people. The vast majority of people are concerned about transgender surgeries for minors, for example, or what they euphemistically call gender-affirming care. And on that side, I think he is speaking to a broadening coalition of medical providers who are also expressing their concerns, reservations, and increasing prohibitions on that. So I think that's an area where he is very consonant with the majority of the American people, certainly from a Catholic standpoint. And, as he said, the creation of a White House faith office. And then, and this is a bit of news, he announced plans to hold an event on the National Mall in May to, as he put it, rededicate America as one nation under God. So that would be part of the 250th, here we are, marking this phenomenal date for the founding of the country that we're marking this year.
And we're running out of time in this segment, but yeah. As a final consideration, those words, one nation under God, which marks the American identity, just close us out with that, please.
Yeah, it is a recognition that we are, and we were established as a Christian country, that we also have enshrined the rights of believers in the Constitution, certainly in the Bill of Rights, that those are constitutionally protected. And at a time when there are many who are questioning about freedom of religion and separating it from freedom of worship, these are important points as we move forward.
My guest is Dr. Matthew Bunsen, Vice President and Editorial Director of EWTN News. And as he rightly mentioned, considering the religious, not just sensibilities of the populace in America today, but also the religious constitutional identity of the United States of America, is a crucial conversation in the 250th anniversary of our nation. Continuing on the other side, I'm Marcus Peter.
Support for this Ave Maria radio program comes in part by the non-for-profit St. Anthony Services. Are you shopping for mortgage products, Catholic investing, Catholic health, real estate, or estate planning? StAnthonyServices.org can help you find a Catholic professional for these needs. They regularly connect faithful citizens with faith-based professionals that share our Christian values. More information at StAnthonyServices.org or 877-LIFE-US1.
Pope Francis said, "The key that opens the door to faith is prayer." Join St. Paul Street Evangelization by running a prayer station in the public square. You don't need to be a professional apologist or theologian. Just listen to the needs of the people you encounter. Offer encouragement, take prayer requests, and pray with people. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
In her diary, St. Faustina wrote, "If only I had a spiritual director from the beginning, I would not have wasted so many of God's graces. If even the saints needed spiritual guidance, how much more do we?" The nonprofit Revive app lets you meet virtually with certified spiritual companions, scheduling sessions at your convenience, helping you grow closer to Christ. Your first two sessions are free. Download the Revive app today. That's R-E-V-I-V, and then the number 3.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Do you feel as though life is flying past you? Are you desperate for a way to find moments of peace and quiet? Lord, Teach Me to Pray, the free Ignatian Prayer Series, will open your heart to His voice, to the peace you are seeking and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord, Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
Good afternoon and welcome back. I'm Marcus Pete. I'm talking with my friend Dr. Matthew Bunsen, Vice President and Editorial Director of EWTN News. Matthew, let's move ahead to a few pieces of news that are coming out of EWTN News and National Catholic Register. The first being Colombia celebrating the 120th anniversary of the Eucharistic miracle that stopped that tsunami, that saved the entire town from that tsunami.
Yeah, it's when I saw the news about this, I was immediately brought back to the fact that the Eucharistic, International Eucharistic Congress was in Ecuador about a year and a half ago. I had the great privilege of helping with our coverage for that. So there is this beautiful connection of the Eucharist, of Eucharistic miracles, and then here, of course, in the United States, we have the Eucharistic revival. But a story like this is also a reminder that Eucharistic miracles, the Eucharist, so central to our lives as Catholics throughout our whole history. And so in this sense, it adds a bit of interesting additional light to this anniversary in the Colombian Diocese of Tumaco, that a Eucharistic miracle 120 years ago miraculously saved the entire town from a tsunami. Now, if you know how that works, there are risks of tsunamis, especially coming out of the Pacific. And the miracle of the wave, as it's simply called. And this wave was on its way to destroy, and sure enough, the response of the faithful to go to the church, they took the consecrated host and the ciborium from the tabernacle to protect it. This one particular priest, the then parish priest, Father Gerardo Larondo, and he went to the people, he raised the Blessed Sacrament according to tradition, said, "Come, my children, let us all go to the beach and may God have mercy on us." They all went to the beach. They saw in the distance this wall of water moving toward them. And raising the Blessed Sacrament, the priest made the sign of the cross, and the immense wave suddenly dissipated, stopped, and then returned to the sea. And obviously there were a lot of witnesses to this, and this has been recorded. So these are the types of anniversaries that I think we all really like to celebrate.
This is the type of anniversary that reminds us that God continues to work in and through human history, reminding us that He's still in control.
Yeah, and it's reminiscent in a way of the blood of St. Januarius, which over the history of Naples has miraculously saved the great city and that region from lava flows and earthquakes and everything else. So these are miracles that take place, in this case, a beautiful miracle that saved everyone from a tsunami. But we have so much documentation about it. You know, there are official records of these things. And so people who say that we're nothing but a religion of superstition, or that legends simply emerge that are not true, when you have witnesses, when you have what would be the attestation of history of those who were there, it reminds us of the importance of miracles, but also the importance of faith in our own lives.
I think about the statements pertaining to this particular miracle, and it becomes very clear that in a particular way, you know, things like miracle, the mm-hmm. immense wave that threatened to destroy the town suddenly stopped as if blocked by an invisible force. It becomes very clear that divine intervention in natural occurrences is a sign that God is working.
Right, and we don't know exactly what happened to the tsunami, but clearly something occurred there that saved this town. And so by marking this moment, it's also a recognition of the fact that, and this is an important point, that as the bishop of the diocese there pointed out, Eucharistic miracle takes place at every Mass, in which, as he put it, the bread and wine are transformed into the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. And so that, too, is something that we want to be focused on.
Yeah.
That the beauty, the importance, the Eucharist is the source and summit of the Christian life. And yes, the Eucharistic miracles are fun. They're important. Carlo Acutis did so much to help us honor those. But at the same time, let's never lose sight of the centrality of the Eucharist in our daily lives and the miracle that it can work in our own lives and our own families.
To switch gears to news that's not so comforting, the University of Notre Dame, the election of a pro-abortion appointee as a professor. Tell us about what's going on and the concerns thereof.
Yeah, this has sparked quite a controversy at the University of Notre Dame. So a scholar by the name of Susan Osterman was appointed the Institute's new leader. Now, this is the Notre Dame's Asian Studies mm-hmm. Institute. It is significant because she is publicly a very outspoken advocate of abortion. And so she was pegged to be its next director. By way of some additional context, and I would encourage everyone to go to ncregister.com to do and read Matt McDonald's great reporting on this. Mm-hmm. So in her role, she was an associate professor of global affairs and political science at Notre Dame and their School of Public Affairs. And she, just in the span of about 2 years, so from 2022 to 2024, she co-authored 11 different columns and for newspapers and opinion sites arguing for legal abortion. But she also, as this article demonstrates, she ties things like abortion to white supremacy. She refers to laws banning abortion as, quote, forced pregnancy and childbirth, and it goes on and on. So in the face of the uproar over her appointment, they have had several resignations of two scholars from the Asian Institute. One is Robert Gemello, who's a research professor emeritus of theology, who's an expert on Buddhism. And another one is Diane Desierto, who's a professor of law and of global affairs. And both of them expressed genuine dismay. And Gemello, as is quoted in the Register's coverage, called Osterman a scholar who has, and this is a quote, who has repeatedly, publicly, and adamantly proclaimed her opposition, verging at times, it seems to me, on contempt for the Catholic Church's firm teaching that protection and nourishment of human life from the moment of conception until natural death is a sacred duty incumbent upon the whole human community. But then, and here's where I think it becomes really interesting, because as he writes, continued formal association with a unit of the university led by such a person is, for me, simply unconscionable. This regardless of whatever considerable talents and accomplishments the appointee might otherwise bring to the job. So this is an act of real conscience on the part of these two scholars, and that's echoed by the Notre Dame Right to Life group that is also extremely unhappy for obvious reasons with this appointment.
And extremely unhappy is the right response to this. As an Asian myself, and I'm just offended too, because this is a tremendously tone-deaf position to hold, to push for abortion and legal abortion, considering the atrocities of the massacre of children in Asia, especially in places like China.
Well, yeah, I mean, we are seeing the results of China's abhorrent one-child policy that has led to massive demographic changes in China. The fact that now the Chinese government not only has rescinded that, but is doing what it can to promote fertility across the country, across the Chinese Communist Republic. But it may be too late in the sense that the damage is done once you begin this cycle of demographic winter. And that is something I think that is increasingly a massive concern, not from a population standpoint, but the long-term economic, political, social, and even military ramifications as China's population continues to age and all of the societal problems that set in from that. And you can go back and chart the fact that the Chinese single-child policy rests at the heart of so many of these demographic problems that we're going to be dealing with now for decades and decades to come.
Yeah. This is an embarrassment to Notre Dame. I hope that they remedy the situation. Matthew, thank you for your time.
Oh, great to be with you.
My guest has been Dr. Matthew Bunsen, Vice President, Editorial Director of EWTN News. We've been talking about church news, current events in light of our faith, and Matthew has been so generous to share with us all of this from the Catholic perspective. Stay tuned. I'm Marcus Peter.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
This program is brought to you in part by the following nonprofit, Christendom College.
Each summer, hundreds of high school juniors come to Christendom College for the best week ever. A week-long experience of classes in philosophy, literature, history, and theology, daily mass and adoration, activities like canoeing, debating, dancing, and bonfires in Virginia's Shenandoah Valley. Students leave with a deeper appreciation for the liberal arts and lasting friendships that stay with them long after the weekend ends. Learn more at thebestweekever.com.
Ave Maria School of Law is the Roman Catholic law school in the United States. Consistently ranked in the Princeton Review as one of the best and most conservative law schools, as well as pre-law's most devout law school. Ave Maria School of Law provides a traditional legal education while emphasizing how the law intersects with the Catholic intellectual tradition and natural law philosophy. Ave Maria School of Law, unabashedly Catholic, consistently excellent. For more information, visit avemarialaw.edu.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
60 on 10 with Monsignor Charles Pope.
The second commandment
You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. The disclosure of a name in the ancient world belonged to the order of trust and intimacy, and so when God revealed his name to Moses, it was an extraordinary outreach to us, saying that we were called to an intimate, trusting relationship with him. And so we should always reverence this name as a great gift. We should obviously never use God's name to curse or to blaspheme or to berate others. God's name is meant to bring blessing. And likewise, the vain use. Vain means empty. So some of these expressions like, oh my God, or, you know, and so on, need to be avoided as well. Vain means empty, and those are using God's name as an empty kind of expression of exasperation. And then finally, never ever to use God's name to swear an oath falsely. God is the God of truth. The second commandment, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain.
For more about the Ten Commandments, visit EWTNRC.com.
Steve and Janet Ray here, inviting you to join us in Portugal, Spain, and France as we follow the three children of Fatima and Saint Bernadette of Lourdes and encounter lots of surprises along the way. These moving apparition sights never fail to inspire awe, healing, and a love for Our Lady, exquisite countryside, and our Spanish chaplain, Father Alfonso Aguilar.
To learn more about your Ave Maria Radio trip, find the Ave Maria Radio Travel tab at AveMariaRadio.net.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. I'm Marcus Peter. Joining me is my friend Peter Herbeck, Vice President and Director of Missions for Renewal Ministries. Peter and Debbie have both been mentors, inspirations. They've been kind of a big brother and sister to my bride and I in a lot of ways. And one of the ways in which they model this is their fervent walk in the life in the Spirit. And so that's what we want to talk about today, which is reclaiming that sense of spiritual hope that the Scriptures talk about as if it's a natural thing in the life of the Christian. We just forget about it so easily.
Yeah, well, great to be with you, Marcus.
Thank you for joining us, Peter.
Yeah, you bet. And I just love the topic of hope, Christian hope, given to us, really, one of the three theological virtues, mm-hmm. as you know, given to us by the power and presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Yeah. And so the promises and the teaching that are related to those spiritual gifts, they're not just, as Pope Benedict would say, it's not just information that we need to take in and kind of agree to in faith. Yes, I agree to that. But he said, no, when you actually internalize it into your heart, take it in,
yeah.
and allow the Holy Spirit, you trust the Holy Spirit, you allow the Holy Spirit to help you lay hold of it. We'll look at some really great passages mm-hmm. that talk about it. He said it becomes performative. That means it changes your life.
Right.
It will change the way you live, the way you think about yourself, the way you think about your present and your future.
Right.
It's very powerful.
Right.
You know, and so much more than like positive thinking yep. and that kind of a thing, you know, so.
And okay, so let's touch on exactly what you said. So we've had this movement, especially since the 60s, that man can be the answer to his own problems. And so, you know, power of positive thinking, it's look in yourself and think positively and claim what you want and you're going to get it. And then when you couple that with what Christianity has always said, that we have head knowledge that needs to be internalized in the heart. This isn't just positive thinking, no. though. We're making an act of the will to assent to something that God, the eternal God, has revealed, and it actually is transformative.
It is. And another way to look at it is, I was talking to Teresa Tamio the other day on a show. She was interviewing me, mm-hmm. and she mentioned, you know, the Trump election, and she goes, well, there's just a lot of hope out there right now with Trump being elected. For some people, obviously, there's right, a lot right. of hope, and some good things are happening. And I said to her, you know, it's interesting. She said, people's hope is up, sort of. Like I said, well, think about this. That's not Christian hope.
Amen.
What that is it looks like positive things are happening, and that's good, and it lifts our heart, and that's a great thing, right. you know? But Christian hope is not related to the circumstances of daily life.
Right.
Those circumstances, how our bank accounts are doing, how our politics are doing, how my physical health is doing, mm-hmm. whatever it is, I mean, those things kind of help, you know, lead us into a kind of a roller coaster experience of life emotionally. But Christian hope never changes. Why? Yeah. Because it's related to Jesus Christ, the Lord, who's in glory in heaven. And faith allows us to see Jesus, that he's risen from the dead,
yep.
that he's entered into glory,
yep.
that he's taken human flesh into glory,
yep.
which is the Father's plan to redeem the whole human race,
right.
and it's secure in him, it cannot be taken, and the new humanity is in him,
right.
and faith shows me through the Word of God, through the preaching of the church, through the graces, you know, the sacraments, the rest that help us see it. At Mass, when we're there, if our eyes are open, we see the same thing that's happening because he's being represented
right.
there. that whole reality. But what we see is we see the truth of it in faith, and hope gives us conviction that that is my future.
Right.
And it cannot be shaken.
Right.
And I already have a down payment. Yeah. In the power of the Holy Spirit given to me in baptism, a down payment, a sure down payment of the full inheritance that's awaiting me in heaven with the Lord, right? And so that, so then the dark future of the grave, remember we're gonna have Ash Wednesday coming up pretty soon, you know? Yep. Remember, man, that you are dust and to dust you shall return, right? And we're all going to die. And that death is a shadow that gets cast over the human heart. And it leads people to despair and fear and all kinds of things. But faith sees right through it in the light of the glory of Jesus Christ in heaven. And so, and the Holy Spirit gives us conviction, this is real. This is for you.
Right.
It's already working in you. Follow me. Follow him. Right. You know, that kind of thing.
And so to talk about exactly that, or the correlation of the faith that we have in Christ and what hope looks like, the letter to the Hebrews reminds us faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. So like you mentioned, there's a concrete reality, because what we hope for is not just this place of heaven, it's really the person of Jesus Christ, who is our heaven. And so he is our faith, he is our hope, and he is the perfection of our charity.
No, exactly, exactly. And I think we know these things in our head.
Yeah.
But there's a big difference between, you know, as Pope Benedict said, information and actual engagement in understanding it in a way that transforms our hearts. If you see, you can see the heart cry of Paul, like in Peter and the rest of how they describe hope. I love the beautiful, the hymn or the apostolic prayer, excuse me, by Paul from Ephesians. And he's praying to the Father of Glory, which happens to be my favorite title for God the Father of Glory. He says, and he's praying to God on behalf of the brothers and sisters, the new converts, the people that have come into the church that's growing. And he prays for what? He prays first for a spirit of wisdom.
Yes.
Wisdom, to understand what's really going on. You know what I mean? The foundation of all things. To have wisdom that comes from God, gets right down to truth, and of revelation in the knowledge of him. He's praying for supernatural help of the Holy Spirit to come alive in the believers so that they get the wisdom of God that's being revealed through Jesus, that they get the knowledge of him, of the love of the Father, of the Father's great plan. And in verse 18, he said, Lord, essentially, like, Father, have the eyes of their hearts enlightened that you may know the hope to which you're called, the glorious inheritance in the saints, and the immeasurably great power in us who believe. It's just so amazing to hear him say all that. Today. Hope, inheritance, power.
Yeah.
What's the hope? What's the inheritance? And what's the power? Laying hold of those three things, Paul's literally saying, help these new believers.
That's right.
Help them receive these things, Father, because they're going to live from them like I'm living from
That's
them.
Right.
And these are life-changing.
Yeah.
These are amazing realities, you know?
Yeah. So you think about Paul, right? You think about, he writes this because, like you mentioned, he's living it, because he's seen what happens when you encounter Jesus Christ and you fall in love with the Father, and he pours into you the gift of the Holy Spirit so that you can keep encountering Jesus Christ, so that you can keep falling in love with the Father, and that compels you to a certain life. And that's what Paul wants for them then. And the way Paul, like I told you this, especially in Romans, right, he uses this language of, like, it's a matter of fact, you already know this. Yes, but I really need to be reminded of it.
Yes, and regularly. And that's why living in, you know, daily praying the Word of God, remember as well, not only is this the same Holy Spirit that's giving us hope is the same Holy Spirit who authored the Bible.
That's right.
Right? And that's why we can say with Hebrews, we agree with it if we're really pursuing it. This is a living word. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates bone and marrow, goes right to the heart, right to the core. And Paul's talking heart language here.
Yep.
And the writer of Hebrews is you know, talking heart language as well. What gets to the very core of our being, our seat of decision, where our whole identity flows from, and it's the Lord. He's giving us a new heart if we cooperate with and let this word do surgery on us so we come out of lies or we come up out of false understanding of who we are and where we're going and all the fears of life and the hopelessness and the stuff the devil, the inferior storyline that the devil wants us to be constantly thinking about so he can get us on the hamster wheel of anxiety and fear right. every day. They're just worn out.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want us to take the time to be able to stop and look and listen.
Right.
Because this will transform us.
Right.
Right. So I want to ask you a question. You're a PhD. I'm sitting here with a scholar, so this is good. Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, the eyes of your heart. How would you explain that to people?
Oh, you know, because everyone's heart has two. I am sorry.
It has two eyes. Yeah.
So I think about the way Jerome translated that particular verse in the Vulgate. He and it's corda, right? That it's it's where we cardiology corda. It's the same root, but in Latin, much like in the way Greek was written, there's a certain symbolism here. Like you mentioned, the secular culture has this ugly way of thinking about the heart as the seat of the passions. That's never been the way Christianity has thought of it. The corda has always been seen in scriptural tradition as the deepest seat of the being of man, where God dwells and where he calls man to this fullness of relationship in him. We are continuing this wonderful conversation with my friend Peter Herbeck, Vice President and Director of Missions for Renewal Ministries, and we're talking about this hopeful spiritual springtime that this Jubilee year allows for us, but that the Christian life allows for us in encountering the Spirit. Stay tuned. I'm Marcus Peter.
Ave Maria in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you with one of 1,400 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 70% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Hello, friends. Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers here, and I haven't been this excited about an up-and-coming speaker for a long time, Dr. Marcus Peter. Dr. Peter has the gift of combining deep theological insight, wisdom, and knowledge with personal testimony and story in a way that makes the power of the church's teaching and God's love felt deeply in the heart of all who hear him. If you are looking for someone for your next conference, parish mission, or event, look no further than Dr. Marcus Peter.
Visit MarcusBPeter.com to book Dr. Marcus Peter to speak at your event. At the Ave Maria website, you can continue the discussion and education through the Ave Maria Radio's links to social media. Ave Maria Radio has accounts on Facebook, X, TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram. Go to AveMariaRadio.net and find the social media symbols at the top of your screen.
You like pizza?
Me too.
And for that, we can thank our friend Tom Monahan.
First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
This program brought to you in part by Ave Maria Florida, a big kind of small town where golf carts take you everywhere and there's always something fun around the corner. Discover championship golf, resort-style amenities, and a town center full of shopping and dining. With Ave Maria University and Ave Maria Catholic Church at its heart, it's a community full of connection and charm. More than 25 model homes are available for viewing. More information can be found at avemaria.com. That's avemaria.com.
Who belongs to the Catholic Church? According to the Catholic Catechism, all men and women are called to the Catholic unity of the people of God. In different ways, they belong or are ordered to belong. The Catholic faithful, other believers in Christ, and all mankind are called by God's grace to salvation. Those who in faith accept all the precepts, sacraments, and all the means of salvation given to the Church and possess the Spirit of Christ are fully incorporated into the society of the Church. One, however, who does not persevere in charity is not saved. he or she remains in the bosom of the church, in its body, but not in its heart. The church is joined in many ways to other faiths that call themselves Christian, even though they do not profess the Catholic faith in its entirety or have not preserved unity or communion under the successors of Peter. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
The devil will always do his best to tempt you into sin until you get to that place where you love sin. That's what he wants. He wants you down there with him. And not because he loves you, he hates you. When you do what the enemy tempts you to do, he does it out of pure hatred.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Good afternoon and welcome back. I'm Marcus Peter. Peter Herbeck, Vice President, Director of Missions for Renewal Ministries, joins us. We're talking about this wonderful spiritual springtime that we've been experiencing in the church, and this is a cause for excitement and, if I may say it, a cause for true hope. And so, So Peter, we were talking earlier that when the Holy Spirit comes into us and endows us with this truth, this revelation, this wisdom and revelation, there's a necessity that we make acts of the will by the grace of God to allow it to ground into the deepest part of our being. And I really want you to speak to that because, as you know, the secular culture says the heart is the seat of the passion. So when they say follow your heart, really what they mean is do whatever you want.
Yeah.
And we've seen destruction in society because of it.
Yeah, that's one of the it's so ironic you mentioned that because I was just thinking about a book that Dr. Paul Vitz wrote called Psychology as Religion, The Cult of Self-Worship.
Mm.
And this was like decades ago. He was talking about, look what's coming, the predominant sort of psychological definitions of what is the human person, the anthropology is changing, and what it's focusing on is the self, the inside, and then the autonomy, radical autonomy. People are saying, you won't be healthy, you won't be free, you won't be happy unless you're your own master, unless you're your own designer, unless you define for yourself who you are, all of that, right? That whole idea.
Exactly.
And so I think that's a false, obviously a false. It's idolatry, really. It's a false understanding, really. It's a bunny trail that leads us into dark places and slavery. And Jesus had diagnosed the human heart so clearly in the gospel, perfectly. You know, he knows that we bear the image of the Father, that we are have eternal value and all the rest of it. But he said, you have a sin-sick heart, and I'm coming to give you a new heart.
Yep.
So you can, from the core of your being, because what's there? He said, look what's in you. Look what defiles a man.
Right.
Not what comes from without, but what's within.
Yep.
What's in there? You know, jealousy, anger, bitterness, rivalry, lust, hatred, a little rust.
A little rust, too.
All of that. But it's all there. And it's like, now he is the great, you know, psychologist, you could say, right? He knows the soul, the psyche. He knows the soul. So he's telling us that's what's there. And the new heart really is the Spirit of God becoming, as Paul would say in Colossians 1:27, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, the mystery of God's saving work. What is it? Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Right.
Going back to Paul, he gave you a down payment, an assurance. Peter calls it, you know, a great hope, a born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance. There's that word again,
which
is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Every single inheritance on this earth and every single person is going to perish, has been defiled, and it keeps fading.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at me, look at the grave, look at, I'm on the way, you know?
I'm there too.
And so this is all real. So what's the answer to all that?
Right.
The answer is a sure hope. Paul calls it a hope that will not disappoint us, right? Why do we know that? Because God's love has been poured into our heart, Paul tells us, by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So getting into this conversation, taking up this understanding of the saving work that's going on in us is the way to walk in deeper freedom and joy. And Paul constantly connects, as does Peter, the word hope to joy.
Yep.
Joy, hope, all the way through. Because when you really see your destiny in Jesus that cannot be taken away, and his mercy and love has forgiven all your sins, and he's bringing you home to the Father, it's on his time clock. You can be free and just say, okay, Lord, between here and there, you just tell me what to do. You know what I mean? Let's walk together because I know where I'm going. I don't have to be afraid of anything,
right?
You know? And so when we as all humans do, get afraid of things and struggle. We know we have a power within us to push back and to come into agreement with who God knows us to be,
right,
and come into agreement with what he has actually done in us,
right,
and saying, that's who I am, and yes, this is what's happening in my life. It's deeper than the loss of the money I just had,
right,
or the sickness that's in my family, or the lousy politicians that are driving me up the wall. Whatever it might be, don't let any of that steal your joy.
Right.
And the joy goes deeper and remains because you have hope.
Yep.
You have confidence in your destiny. And so, remember the story of Josephine Bakita?
Yep.
You know, she was the patroness of Sudan and for all those who are being trafficked. I did not know that. You think about all the talk about all the human trafficking that's going on, but just a little bit of data on her, because I love the way Pope Benedict put this in his encyclical. I think it's an encyclical or apostolic letter. I think it's an encyclical on hope. But okay, she was at 9 years old, she was sold into slavery. 5 times she was sold into slavery. At one point she was, you know, purchased by this general who gave her over to his mother and his wife, and they beat her every single day. She bore on her body 144 different scars. At one point they gave her a name because she didn't know her name.
That's
even.
Right.
Isn't that sad? When you think about that? And then this Italian merchant purchased her, took her back to Italy. She ended up getting in contact with Catholics. This guy was probably Catholic, and religious sisters who were also related. And she comes to know a different master. And that master was Jesus. Every master she ever knew, she said, was wicked and harmful. And she was afraid. But she said she looked at this master, and he was good. And like her, he was whipped, and he bore scars all over his body. And she came to know that she said that this master loves me. And she's got this beautiful line. She said, I know that I am definitively loved. Whatever happens to me, I know that I'm awaited by love,
yeah,
at the right hand of God the Father. And therefore, my life is good. I see my future. I'm defined by him and his love for me.
Yeah.
He will never let me go. Nothing will ever overcome it. And I am, and that love is what heals our hearts. And this poor girl, she had no sense of dignity because of everybody just destroyed it. They just treated her so horribly. She never knew love. She never knew love.
Right.
And then she found love. And she becomes a saint, you know? And she blesses other people, and she's free in her soul. And she's walking in joy and confidence about her destiny.
Yep.
That's exactly what the Holy Father is talking about.
Yep.
It is performative. This has power, yeah, because the Holy Spirit within us that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is the one who's giving us faith assurance,
yep,
confident hope that all of this is part of my story. You know, he's doing this in my life.
Yeah.
And when we know it, brothers and sisters, we become contagious.
Yep, that's true.
You know, because it's so easy. You know it well, Marcus, is the human nature to get caught in, you know, the downward spiral of the culture. Everybody's mad, everybody's frustrated, everybody's scared, and that's what everybody's talking about, you know?
Yeah.
And
So pull up your social media, that's all you're going to see. You pull,
yeah,
up, turn on the TV, that's all you're going to,
yeah,
see. One thing I want to bring out so that you can share with us, Peter, is everything you've been saying shows us that this is truly 100% the divine initiative. God is doing this for us. Paul talks about the love of God has been poured into our hearts. That language of that participle means, yeah, it's already happening.
Yeah.
But because God is a good father, we also see that it's 100% our willingness to receive of that.
Yeah.
And this cooperation between the fullness of our receptivity, our will, our choice, and the fullness of the Father's love for us is what brings about that powerful transformation. So share with us a little about that.
Yeah, and I think it's our response to his initiative. That has, mm-hmm, to happen.
Yeah.
And what that means is two things. One is, you know, first step, we call it faith, and faith receives what's been revealed to us.
Right.
And by God's grace, we come to the point where we say, yes, I believe, like the stuff that's in the creeds. But the other half of that, as you know well, is faith is a radical abandonment of my self in trust to God.
Yeah.
To become like our father in faith, for example, Abraham, who was a nomad of faith. He knew, he heard, he followed. And so it's very, lots and lots, I've talked to lots of men in men's ministry over the years, you know, in different parts of the country and around the world. Yeah, I know, but God never speaks to me. People say God speaks to them, never speaks to me. I never hear him, you know. I feel like a stranger. I don't really know him, you know. And one of the things I ask him is, do you, besides going to Mass regularly and like receiving the sacraments to get grace, are you reading the Word of God?
Mm.
He's talking to you. That's a love letter. That's a letter. This is a living Word that's telling you these things. And it's not just information. If you allow the Holy Spirit, you sit down with the Word of God and just take up some of these passages like Ephesians 1, Romans 5, 1 Peter, you know, that kind of thing, and say, sit down and just read it slowly and ask the Holy Spirit, help me understand this. Help this come alive in my soul.
Right.
And so you do your part. You're not just saying, well, I don't feel anything. I'm not doing this anymore. No, you, if you have faith, you're going to say, I'm going to pursue this. Jesus said, if you know, seek first the kingdom of God, his way of holiness, and everything else will be added unto you. You know, and I'm so thankful when I was in my, you know, late teens, early 20s, when I just had a convert, the conversion happened in my life. God brought people into my life that kept telling me, you know, say, pick up the Bible every day, read it. Just read it. Just read a few lines. Read the words of Jesus. Read the words of the apostles. You know, that kind of stuff. Ask the Holy Spirit for help. And I remember one guy said, I guarantee you, you do this every day, there'll be days when all of a sudden there'll be a line that just kind of pops out.
Right.
It's like a message written for you. And that's what happened, that passage I just said, Matthew 6. It's kind of like my life passage. I was in a dorm, sitting there in a folding chair in my dorm reading this. And I felt like that thing almost had a neon light on it, that passage, seek first. Because before that is, don't worry, don't be anxious, don't be afraid. Don't you know your Heavenly Father? And I was worried, I was anxious, and I was afraid. You know, it's just about life and what's going to happen, where am I going, that kind of stuff. And when that passage, you know, just jumped out at me, I honestly felt like if I had to put words on it, like the Lord said, Peter, if you make this verse your life principle or your motto, whatever, that if you obey this and go after this and say, this is what I'm going to do, this is where I'm going to put my stake in the ground, seek first the kingdom, then I will do something beautiful with your life. That was when I was like 20.
My guest, Peter Herbeck, Vice President and Director of Missions for Renewal Ministries. We've been talking about hope in the spiritual life and what that looks like. Stay tuned. I'm Marcus Peter.